Tonight we're going to be talking about making hard decisions. How many of you know it's tough times? You know, the news is constantly telling us how tough it is. You got people out there that are losing jobs. There's a lot of different things going on right now in our economy, in our nation, in our city. There are things happening left and right. And it's hard times. But you know, even when there's not hard times, there's still hard decisions that have to be made. And whether you're in the hard times or you're not in the hard times, you're still going to have to make a decision. You're going to have to do something in your life. You're going to have to make choices. Some have said that life is the sum of all of our choices, that everything that we choose to do or choose not to do is what defines us and what makes us who we are. And so it's very important that we find out how to make right choices and how to make godly choices based on what God has to say, and rather than on our own calculations, or maybe on what somebody tells us or what the news media tells us, what we've learned in school, because those things will lead us somewhere. And the decisions that we make, we all know, can lead us either into good things or into bad things, whether into blessing or into cursing. There is something that will take place when you make a right decision or a godly decision where a blessing comes into your life and good things come out of that. In the same way, when we choose not to make a right decision, maybe we're ignorant of what the Word says, or maybe we're ignorant of what God would have us to do. And so we make a decision just based on our own calculations, or maybe somebody told us to do it this way, or maybe that's the way we had learned from our parents growing up, and so we always thought of doing it that way. In any event, we're going to have to make decisions. And tonight, I want to make sure that you're equipped to know how to make hard decisions in light of what God says, how God would have you to make godly decisions. Can you imagine, for a second, if you had the inside track on every decision that you made? What if you woke up in the morning and there was just a printed sheet on your nightstand that you picked it up and you started reading and God listed for you bullet points of everything that you needed to do that day in order to succeed? We all would say, wow, Pastor Dan, that's really wonderful. I would really love to have something like that. Well, here's the deal. You don't have a printed sheet. You've got something better than that. You have the Spirit of the living God living on the inside of you. And you have a witness from God. The Bible tells us that we have an anointing that teaches us all things. And therefore, we don't need a teacher. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, is living on the inside of you. Inside you are wall to wall Holy Spirit. And therefore, you don't need a sheet of printed paper to tell you what to do, even though we would all like that. Because all of us like to see it right there, plain black and white print. We've got it. Now, there's no excuses, no nothing. It doesn't take any hard work, but we have to make hard decisions. And the Holy Spirit on the inside of us will lead us, guide us, direct us, give us the inside track on every decision that you need to make each and every day of your life. You know, it was like the person that prayed and said, "Dear Lord, so far today I'm doing all right. I've not gossiped. I haven't lost my temper with the kids or with my wife or with my husband. I haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or self-indulgent. I've not whined, haven't grumbled or cursed. I haven't eaten anything that I shouldn't have, God. Nor have I spent any money frivolously. God, I've been wise today so far. However, I'm going to get out of bed in a couple minutes. And after that, I'm going to need a lot of help. Amen." But you see, there are going to be choices that we have to make each and every day. And we are going to have to come up and make a decision. Because if you don't make a decision, somebody's going to make it for you. Let me repeat that for you so that you get a hold of this. If you don't make a decision, somebody's going to make a decision for you. And let me tell you something. You do not want the devil making your decisions for you. Because he's going to lead you down the road to death. You do not want the politicians making decisions for your life. Because they're going to lead you down their way, the way that it benefits them. You don't want the educational system or the news media or any of the social systems governing the way that your life turns out, because it will not be for your benefit. It may sound like it at first. It may look good. It may smell good. It may taste good. But you know what? In the end, you'll find out that it doesn't lead you to where God would have you to be. It's like Ronald Reagan as a boy was growing up and he was getting some shoes redone. And so the shoe cobbler asked him, "Would you like square toes on these shoes or round toes on these shoes?" And he was very timid and very shy. And so he didn't respond. He didn't say anything. And the cobbler said, "Well, you know what? Don't worry about it. I've got some time. Come back tomorrow and you can tell me about it." Well, he didn't go see the shoe cobbler that next day or the next day. A week went by and the shoe cobbler saw him out and about in the town. And he says, "Hey, come here, son. Did you ever make a decision? Do you want round toes on those shoes or do you want square toes on those shoes? And being shy and timid, he still didn't make any decision. He still didn't make any response. So the cobbler kind of frowned a little bit and he says, I tell you what, meet me at the shoe store tomorrow and I'll give you your shoes. So Ronald Reagan, as a young boy, showed up at the shoe cobbler store and the shoe cobbler said, oh, here you go, son. And he handed him the shoes and one had a square toe, one had a round toe. And he says, he's quoted as saying this. He says, I knew right then and there that if you don't make your own decisions, someone else will. Tonight, we need to find out how to make the right decisions. A couple of simple little things, easy things for you and I to remember and to do about how to make the right decisions. So if you're taking notes tonight, making the right decisions, three quick things we're going to take a look at. Very simple, very easy for us to grab a hold of and to incorporate into our lives. Number one, are you guys ready? All right. Number one is follow the word. Notice that I capitalized the W on word. Why? Because this is not just any word. This is the word of the Lord. This is the Bible, okay? Because the word of the Lord, the Bible says, stands forever. You can stand on the word of God because the word of God will not fail. It will not quit. It is eternal. The words of the Lord has been spoken by the mouth of God. And God looks after his word to be careful to make it do what it is that he's called it to do. The Bible says that he looks after it to accomplish his purposes. And therefore, if God is looking after his word, when you follow the word, that means God is looking after you. Isn't that amazing? Follow the word. You cannot go wrong when you follow the word. You never have to wonder, is God wanting me to tithe? Why? Because it's in the word of God. You never have to wonder, does God want me to leave my family and abandon them? It's outlined in the word of God. No, stay with your family. Be with them. You never have to wonder, God, would you have me to love this person? Why? Because God says, I have commanded you to love everyone, even your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. You never have to wonder about what is contained in the word of God. The problem is that we don't take the time and spend the time to find out what the word of the Lord says. And therefore, you and I have a responsibility to get into God's word, get into church and hear the word of the Lord, make sure that we're constantly studying the scripture and finding out what the will of God is. Because God does not want us to live a life where we're always walking around, always wondering, boy, what would God have me to do in this situation? I wonder what God would have to say. I wonder where that printed sheet of paper is on my nightstand that Pastor Dan was talking about. Well, here's some printed sheets of paper. Yeah, there's a lot of them. But listen, little by little, brick by brick, walls are built. And in your life and in my life, we don't just get this all at once. It's not like you just put it on your head and osmosis happens and you get the word of the Lord and oh, I got it. Wow. No, you study it. You get one little thing in there. Find one verse that applies to your situation. What is it that you need to find out? What is it that you need direction in? What is the hard decision that you have to make? Some of you guys in this room are facing marital problems. I don't have to know by the Spirit of God to know that. It's all the prayer requests that come in week after week. And some of you might be wondering what to do in your marriage. Well, listen, have you opened your Bible and found out what God would have you to do as a husband? And found out what God would have you to do as a wife? Some of you having problems with your kids. Listen, have you gotten into the word of the Lord yet and found out what God would have you to do with your children? The Bible says don't exasperate them. Don't just frustrate them to death. The Bible does say to discipline them, and it tells you how to discipline them. In the training and admonition of the Lord, raising them up in the ways of God that they will not depart from them when they grow old. See, the word of God has something for each and every situation in your life. Some of you guys might be new Christians wondering, does God want you to give up this addiction, this habit? Listen, it's contained in the word of God. You need to go in there, get yourself a word to stand on. And then you get in faith and you proclaim that verse over your life. And you pray that verse over your life. You find out what it is that God has for you. Because otherwise you're going to get knocked around by the ways of life. The devil's going to come out there and kick you in the rear. And all the world's going to be pointing, laughing, telling you what to do. And you're going to be just going around, blown about by the waves of the ocean, to and fro and to and fro. When you have the word of the Lord, you can stand. You can make sure that you have something that you can hold on to. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. We're going to be looking at Psalm 119. Right about in the middle of your Bible. Psalm 119. It's the longest chapter in the Bible, so it should be a little bit easier to find. We're going to take a look at two verses in Psalm 119, verse 104 and 105. I told you it was a long chapter. In case you're still having trouble finding it, it's on page 782 in my Bible. Psalm chapter 119, verse 104 says this: through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Now listen, if there is a false way out there, that means that that's the lying way. That's the deceptive way. That's the way that you're not supposed to go. And what does he say? He says, through your precepts. That word precepts means the commandments, the signposts, the road signs. You will get indicators from the Word of God about what you are supposed to do in life. And he says, through your precepts, I get understanding. Where there was confusion before, now you can look to the signposts. You can look to the Word of God. You can find out what it is that God has for you, and you can get understanding. Now all of a sudden you say, aha, I know what it is that I can do. I know what it is that I can't do. I know what I can believe God for. I know what I can't believe God for. I can stand on God's Word in this area of my life. Devil, shut up. World, stop talking, because I'm going on with what God has for me. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Man, this is a passionate thing in his heart. He's saying that the word of the Lord is so important to him that when he finds the false way, the way that he's not supposed to go, he despises it. He hates it. He rejects it. Look at verse 105. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now take a moment and think about, have you guys ever been hiking at night up there in the mountains where there's no street lights, there's nothing going on, tall trees everywhere? Man, it's so dark that you could just put your hand up in front of your face and you don't even see your hand. But what happens when you take out even the smallest little teeny tiny flashlight and you click that thing on? All of a sudden, you can find out which way you're supposed to go. You can stay on the trail. I remember one time we were hiking up to Twin Lakes in the Sierra Nevadas. And as we were going, it just kept getting later and later and later and later. And we were slowed down by some of the guys. And it just kept getting darker and darker and darker and darker. And the only light we could see were the pinpricks of the stars up above us where the trees were clearing. And man, it was getting so hard and we were tripping all over the place. And all of a sudden, it was almost like something clicked on our minds. Oh yeah, flashlights. And we turned them on, and all of a sudden, now we could find out where we were going. Oh, watch out for that big old rock. Okay, here we go. And you just start moving. And sometimes you were able to see way far ahead of you. Sometimes you could only see the next step, where to go, what to do. In the same way in your life, there will be times where you know, wow, that's a long, clear direction. That's why it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. See, when you know what the next step is, sometimes you get the word of the Lord and you only know one step. Here it is. Okay, God, I'm going to find out what to do next. You get one little step. Here it is. It is a lamp to my feet. You don't know where to go, but you have one little step. Okay, God, I know this is the next step. Okay, God, I know this is what I can do here. Okay, God, I've got this direction from you. And other times, it is the light to your path. Because when you take a look up, now all of a sudden you can see what's coming ahead. You can see where to go. You can see where the turn is. You can see, oh, don't go down that side. That's a long slope that's going to take you down. We're going to curve around the mountain this way. We're going to go this way. All of a sudden, you've got direction with your wife, with your husband, with your kids, with your business. Can you imagine having the inside track on business decisions? Where to make investments? Where to invest your time and your resources? Who to hire? What not to get into? I mean, God can direct you in all of your ways. God is interested in your entire life. And you can find a promise in his word. You can find a scripture in his word that will give you the next step, give you the next step, give you the next step, and show you what's ahead. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. The word of the Lord stands forever. Therefore, you can stand on the word. One more verse on this. Joshua chapter 1. The sixth book of the Bible, Joshua. Chapter 1, Pastor David had talked about the two spies. Joshua was one of those spies that came back with a good report. Joshua was about to go into the land of Israel, and he was about to go on a conquest and take the land. It had been 40 years since they came back with the spies. And God is preparing Joshua, and Joshua had some hard decisions ahead. Man, this guy was the commander of the Lord's army. There were just hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people under his command. And he's taking this mantle from Moses. He's taken the authority of Moses. And God starts giving him some instructions and says, hey, you know what? There are some tough decisions ahead. But here's what I want you to do. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. He says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Do a heart check real quick on yourself. You don't have to raise your hand or anything like that. I don't want to embarrass anybody. But what's the first thing that comes out of your mouth when you're presented with a tough decision? Is it doubt? Is it fear? Is it worry? Is it frustration? Or is it the word of the Lord? See, I got to check myself on this because not always do I just immediately go to the word. No, there are certain times where I go, oh no, what are we going to do? Oh man, oh golly, can you believe it? But he says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. That means that you are to speak the word of the Lord audibly out of your mouth. Sometimes people get mad at people who go around speaking the word, claiming the promises of God. They say, you're name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. Well, listen, if the word of God tells me to do it, I'm going to do it. The foolish ones aren't the ones that are going around confessing the scriptures over their life. The foolish ones are the ones who aren't. Because God has given us a command. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. That means roll it over in your spirit. Keep it going. Mutter it. Just repeat it. Man, if you got to put it on a post-it note and put it on your mirror while you're brushing your teeth and you're just going around and around and around, spending a couple extra minutes meditating on the word of the Lord. It says, you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Now look at this promise that's about to come. When you have the word of the Lord on your lips, rolling around in your heart, pouring out of you, this is what it says. It says, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. How many of you want good success in your life? How many of you want to be prosperous in your life? Well, then don't let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Make sure that you meditate on it day and night. Just be letting stuff rolling around, coming out of you, pouring out of you. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Man, we can do it. With God on our side, nothing is impossible with our God. Hallelujah. Number one thing, when you're making tough decisions, making the right decisions, number one is follow the word. You can't go wrong with the word. Number two, and I made it rhyme on purpose so that you would remember it. Number two is pray, listen, and do. You say, that doesn't rhyme, Pastor Dan. Yes, it does. Two and do rhyme. Okay? Number two, pray, listen, and do. Okay? You guys got it? So number one is follow the word. Number two is pray, listen, and do. Okay? Now, I find personally that number one thing there, pray, is oftentimes the hardest part of this little process of pray, listen, and do. I want to go out and I want to do it. Then I want to pray, and then I want to listen. Anybody else like Pastor Dan in this room that will be brave enough to admit it? Yeah, I mean, we all sometimes just want to rush into things, man. And I think that our culture has kind of gotten us a little bit accustomed to this because of fast food and have it your way and you're the boss and all this kind of stuff. But listen, if you're busy doing stuff and you're not listening, God may be saying, hold on, whoa, stop, pitfall ahead. And you're like, what? Boom. That's why you're supposed to go to prayer first, immediately. First things first. God is your first priority. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his right ways. His position, his practice. Seek that first. Go after God. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication. Present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your heart and mind. See, we are to take everything to God in prayer. The Bible says pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean that all you do all day long is pray. No, you still have to live. You still have to do stuff. You still have to relate to people. You still have to work. You still have to raise your kids. You still have to have a good marriage. You still have to do things. But while you're doing, you take it to prayer. It's like Nehemiah. Man, this guy was presented with a situation. Some of the Jews came back from Jerusalem, and Jerusalem had been just completely devastated. So he starts asking the guy some questions, and they tell him a report about the walls being broken down and the gates being burned. And he sits down and weeps, and he prays. First thing he does is he prays. Then when he's about to go in to see the king, what's he do? He prays. Then when he gets done with the king, what's he do? He prays. This guy was a man of prayer. And you and I, when we're presented with situations, there may be a devastating report that comes to you. Doctors may tell you, you know what? It doesn't look good. 6 months to live. Whatever it is. Somebody may come to you and tell you the finances have all dried up. There's nothing left and we just lost our jobs. Now your response is to pray. To bring it to the Lord in prayer and say, God, you know what? Here it is. You know the situation, but God, I'm going to present it to you anyways. And God, what am I supposed to do in this situation? When it's time to make the hard decisions, pray. And then listen. Turn off the cell phone. Turn off the television. You can't turn off the family. You know, they seem to keep going. But you know what? There may be some times where you can get alone. Get away from the distractions. Turn off the TV. Turn off the computer. Whatever it is that's going to distract you, get yourself in a place where you can hear the voice of God. You know what? There are times I really like to listen to music while I'm driving in my car. It just passes the time. I like music. And yet there are times where I'm so concerned about a decision that I'll just say, God, radio's off. Here I am. Just speak to me in the quietness. Just start to pray in the Spirit and just start to allow God to speak to me during those times. Why? Because there's nobody else in the car with me. I'm alone with God. That's one of the few times, that and the shower, it seems like the only two times that I get to pray. Amen. It's okay because you're praying continually. You're asking God, you're presenting your petitions. And if you can't get up at 5 a.m. to pray, some people can, some people are disciplined, some people do that. But you know what? Some of us, you know, kids are up in the middle of the night. I understand. Really, I do. And that's why you take those moments when you're alone and you listen for the voice of God. You're constantly listening. And then once you have the word of the Lord, immediately after you get that word of the Lord, you go out and you do it. You're quick to do it. You're swift to do it. I have the word of God. Therefore, I'm going to go and do it. Just like I said, follow the word, quickly do the word. But also when you pray and when you get that witness from God, this is what you're supposed to do. It drops into your spirit. At that moment, don't delay. Run out and do it. I remember there was a time when Gary and Marilyn Skinner are with Total Orphanages in Uganda, Africa, and she came to our daughter's conference. And man, she just lit it up here. She just tore open our hearts, man. We all just were just filled with compassion. And we knew that we had to do something. And God told me, I want you to go out and sell some extra guitars that you have in your closet. And I remember I was like, wow, okay. And I committed right then and there, God, I'm going to do it. I am going to do it, God. I commit these things to you, Lord. I don't care what price I get for them, but God, I'm going to do it. Well, I delayed. You say, Pastor Dan, aren't you supposed to give us, you know, an example when you do the right thing? Listen, we can all learn in any way. So I'm going to tell you what I didn't do, okay? I didn't do it right away. I made up excuses. I said, God, you know what? I got all this stuff going on. I'm pastoring. I got the young adults. You know, I'm teaching in the school. Got all this stuff going on, God. We just came off conference. I need some time off. I can't get away. I got the family. And after a while, these scriptures kept coming in my mind. Abraham got up early in the morning. Isaac rose early in the morning. Oh, God, I don't want to get up early. And then one day I was driving to church and I started to pray and God said, shut up. I don't know if God talks to you that way. He talks to me that way. And I said, what? Stop talking. I said, why, God? He says, you're praying and asking me about all this stuff. You haven't done what I commanded you to do. I said, okay, God, right after church, because I was headed here. I said, right after church, God. Right after church, immediately I went and I took that guitar. And you know what? The first place I took that guitar, they looked at it and they said, no, sorry, here you go. We don't want to buy it. So I was kind of rejected. I said, okay, you know what, God, I tried. God said, no, you didn't. I said, okay, all right, God. So I left that and I had taken the guitar to a pawn shop in Redlands. Now, I started looking on my phone, you know, kind of checking other pawn shops in the area, and all I could find were ones in San Bernardino. And I'm thinking, God, I don't want to go to a pawn shop in San Bernardino. Isn't there another one in Redlands or Yucaipa or something? I mean, come on. So I found one. I called them up. Are you guys open? They said, yeah, we're open. So I went down to this pawn shop on Baseline, San Bernardino. Dressed kind of like this, okay? So I walk in there and I set the guitar up on the counter, and a lady comes over and says, "Can I help you?" I said, "Yeah, I'd like to sell this guitar." She says, "Okay." We open up and she takes a look at it. She says, "All right, what were you trying to get for it?" I said, "Well, you know, I don't know. It's an old guitar. I got it for like $100. I was wanting to make at least $20 on it or something like that." She looked at the guitar, said, "Hold on one second." Went to her boss, came back, said, "I'll give you $30. I mean, how many times does that happen? That you offer the lower price, they go to their boss. Usually when they go to their boss, you know they're coming back with 10. Then you got to barter them up to 15. And then they come back with like 12.50 and you say, "Fine, whatever, I'll take it, you know. Just get it out of my hands so that I can fulfill my commitment to the Lord." But no, came back and said, "I'll give you 30. I said, "Wow, are you sure?" You know, I'm kind of like asking her now. I'm like, "Are you sure?" She said, "Yeah, just fill out this slip, you know, sign it over to us. We'll give you $30. I said, "Okay." Went ahead and I sold the guitar for $30, brought it back and gave it as an offering to the Lord. What's the point? The point is that I prayed, I listened, I didn't do. But the moment that I did, the moment that I got on track with what God had me to do, God was working out a blessing. God was working out a way. God was working out something. That's why he says, be quick to meditate on the word of the Lord. Don't let it depart from your lips, and meditate it on day and night, that you will be careful to observe and to do all that is written in it. Then will your way be made prosperous. Then will you have good success. You and I, as we meditate on the word of the Lord, as we follow the word, and as we pray and listen to the word of God and get the word of God in our hearts and be quick to do it, God will bring a blessing. Turn with me to John chapter 16. I want to show you something. John chapter 16. We were talking about the greater one living on the inside of us, the Holy Spirit. And in John chapter 16, we get part of the Holy Spirit's job description. John chapter 16, verse 13 says this. John chapter 16, verse 13 says, "However, when he," capital H, "the Spirit of truth has come." Now, how many of you know, we're after the fact, therefore the Spirit of God has come. We have the Holy Spirit. It says this is what he will do. He will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Remember, I opened up by saying, what if God had given you a sheet of paper on your nightstand every day that told you everything that you should do? That would be showing you things to come, right? Well, the Bible tells us that when the Spirit of truth has come into your heart, that he will guide you into all truth. Just like the word of the Lord is a lamp to your feet, the Spirit of God is the guide. You know, I couldn't have ever hiked in those Sierra Nevada mountains without somebody guiding me, showing me where the lakes were that we were going to camp out at. I would have been just wandering around down any trail that I found because I would have thought that it would have led me somewhere. Then when I got there, I would have pitched tent, put up camp, stayed there for a little while, and then going home, I wouldn't even have known which way to go. You need a guide in your life to tell you, this is the way, walk in it. This is where we're going. No, don't take that path. That path leads you somewhere you don't want to go. This is the path you need to go on. The Holy Spirit is the one who will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority. That means that when you pray and when you ask God for the answer to a question, God the Father tells God the Holy Spirit, this is the way that I want you to direct them. And then the Holy Spirit speaks to you and speaks on the authority of God. But whatever he hears, he will speak. He's hearing from the word of the Lord. He's hearing from the Father, and he speaks. And it says, and he will tell you things to come. The Spirit of God will reveal to you what is coming up in your life. The Spirit of God will show you the direction that you need to take. Businessmen and women, if you're wondering if there's an investment out there, pray, listen to the word of God, and then do what God tells you to do. Because the Spirit of God is going to show you things to come. No, don't invest there because this is going to have a downfall. You invest over here. No, don't hire that person. They're going to break up your business. Hire this person because they're going to encourage you and they're going to be a benefit. Parents, it'll show you things about your kids. Kids will be coming home and you will have a witness on the inside about what you're supposed to speak to your children, how you're supposed to react to them, how you're supposed to respond to them. Husbands and wives, if you pray about situations in your marriage, together and alone, the Spirit of God will show you things to come. Watch out for this person. They're going to try and break up your marriage. Surround yourself with these people. You don't have to wonder. The Spirit of God will lead you and guide you into all truth. I like how the verse is said in the Message Bible at the end. It says that God will make sense out of what is about to happen. Isn't that a great word? God will make sense out of what is about to happen. Some of you guys don't understand what's going on in your lives right now. Some of you guys don't understand the times. You don't know what's happening. You're wondering, where's God at? Why did it have to happen this way? God, where are you? There's a lot of tough decisions, God. It seems like I pray and it just bounces off the roof. But when you get the Spirit of God on the inside of you and you are listening to the voice of the Lord, the Bible says that He will guide you into all truth, or He will make sense out of what is about to happen. He's going to show you things to come so that you will have peace in the meantime. So you may be in the middle of a big problem. You may be in the middle of a big situation. You may be in the middle of a hardship. But when the Spirit of God comes and reveals to you what's going to happen, hey, listen, there's going to be trouble for 7 days. There's going to be a hardship going on in your life. But hold on, hold fast to my word, and he who overcomes will receive the blessings of God. Just like reading the end of a book. You know, you're into one of those mystery novels. You're wondering who done it. Then you go and you read the end of the book and you go, oh my goodness, they did it. Then you go back and you read it and you're not all scared anymore. Why? Because you know what happens. It's like my wife and I, we have a DVR at our house. You know what that is? Digital video recorder. Some people call it TiVo, even though it's a DVR. But you know what? They record episodes. Well, if the program is recording, but you want to watch the beginning, sometimes you see the end. And it's like, you know, we're watching The Apprentice and we see Donald say, you're fired. It ruins the whole show for us. So we're like, no, 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 click, hurry, quick. But if you watch the end of a movie and you know that the hero escapes death and comes out and conquers the villain, then when the dude's hung upside down by a rope over a pit of lava, you're like, he's going to get out of that. I know what happens in the end. In the same way, the Spirit of God will reveal to you what's coming up, the pitfalls, what's happening, who's going to come against you, how to stand. He'll reveal to you the Word of God. He will guide you into all truth so that you can make the tough decisions in your life. You guys getting anything so far? Making the right decisions. Number one is follow the Word. Number two is pray, listen, and do. Final thing tonight, number three, is don't let doubt and fear lead. Don't let doubt and fear lead. When you let circumstances or your mental calculations lead, or you let doubt and fear and unbelief lead you, you are not being led by the Spirit of God. Now, I know that goes without saying, but it needs to be said, because a lot of times we say, oh, I'm holding on to the Word, but gosh, I don't know if it can happen. God, I believe your promise, and I know I got that peace in prayer, but oh my goodness, I don't see how this is going to take place. Oh God, I know you can do it, but I don't know if it's going to happen. It's like the man that came to Jesus and said, if you can heal my son. Jesus said, excuse me? If I can? I thought right then and there, man, this guy's not getting nothing from the Lord. I would have stepped back from him and said, where's the lightning? But immediately the man says, falls down and says, Lord, help me in my unbelief. You and I, when we get in doubt, when we find those fears coming in, that's when you shake that stuff off. You say, oh no, I'm not letting that come on me. I'm not letting that in. I am not going to let doubt and fear and unbelief and worry and circumstance lead me. I've got the Word of the Lord. I'm holding on. I know that God has called me to this direction. That's the direction I'm going. I will not be deluded. I will not be delayed. I will not be put aside. I will not be cast down. God is lifting me up, and there's a promise on the other side of this problem. And therefore, I have the Word of the Lord, and it shall come to pass in my life. So you got to stir yourself up. You got to talk to yourself about these things. Talk to other people about these things. They might think you're crazy. But you know, you speak it anyways. That way, when it comes to pass, they're going to say, wow, look at what God did. He said it was going to happen. I didn't believe him, but look at what his God did. It will be a witness and a testimony. It'll be a light to the people around you because you are unusual. Everybody else believes stuff and they don't get it. Because it's not based on the Word of God, nor is it based on the promises of God. But you, you're different. You're a peculiar people. You're special to the Lord. You're a king's kid. God delights to pour out his blessing. The Bible says that God has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. That means that when there's a hard decision coming your way and you're looking for the way of the Lord and God says it's going to be tough, but if you go this way, there's a blessing on the other side. There's kids returning home on the other side. There's addictions being broken off of you on the other side. There's financial blessing on the other side. There's wisdom on the other side. There is a great marriage on the other side. Just hold on. Just keep going with my promises. You hold on to the word of the Lord, you find out that it will come to pass. Don't let doubt and fear lead you. But let the word of the Lord and the witness of God through prayer lead you. Turn back with me to the Psalms, this time to Psalm 111. Psalm 111, last verse for tonight, and we'll close with this. Psalm 111, last verse in Psalm 111, verse number 10. Psalm 111, verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever." Now you say, "Pastor, I thought we weren't supposed to be led by fear." No, not by fear of circumstances or fear of the devil or fear of what people are going to do to you or any sort of fears like that. But we are to have a healthy fear of the Lord. What does that mean? An awe and a respect, a reverence of God and his word. That we tremble at his word and that we're careful to do everything that God is asking us to do in his word. That's why it says that a good understanding have all those who do his commandments. See, when you believe the word of God so much so that you're afraid not to do it. Let me say that again. When you believe God so much and his word that you're afraid not to do it. It's like Wayne Myers came to this church one time. He's a missionary to Mexico. He said he was driving in a car with a gentleman and they were going to a meeting, and as they're driving in this car, the gentleman was telling him how harsh the roads were, and you could never walk this road. It's too treacherous, and it's always raining because it was a tropical area, slippery, and on one side you fall down, on the other side you fall down. You have to just drive perfectly up this road. There's thieves and robbers that'll overtake you on this road, and man, he's telling them all this stuff. And then he started asking him about the church and the meetings, and so that went on for a little while. And then he started talking to him about his personal life. And so Wayne was getting involved in his business, you know, talking about church and finding out about his family and finding out about his personal life. And finally, Wayne said, "Are you a tither?" And the man said, "No, I'm not." And he said, "Stop the car! Stop! Let me out!" And the man said, "What are you talking about? What are you doing? This is the most dangerous road. I told you about all the pitfalls. I told you about the thieves. You're not going to make it if you get out." He says, "No, I can make it because I've got the word of the Lord. And I'm a tither. And if you're not, that means that you're in a curse. And you let me out of this car right now." Why? He was afraid to be out of the will of God. He was afraid to even take a ride from a guy who wasn't doing the will of God. You and I, when it comes to the word of the Lord, what is it that God has told you to do that you haven't done yet? What's the hard decision that you had to make that God gave you clear direction on that you didn't do? If you're not seeing results in your life, it's probably because you need to go back to that place and go back to what God has told you to do and do it. Because a good understanding have all those who do his commandments. See, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When you need the wisdom of God, when you need to find out what way is it, God, that I should go, and you follow his commandments, then you have a good understanding. You know what it is ahead and you can do the word of the Lord. But when you let doubt, when you let fear, when you let unbelief lead you, you will not do the word of the Lord. And you will not be led by the Spirit of God. And you'll still expect the results. You'll still expect the blessings, but they won't be there. One of the guys that came to our young adults ministry years ago was talking to me, and he was telling me, "Man, you know what? All of my business has dried up out here. I don't know what it is." And he was self-employed, and he did a service business. And I'm going, "You know, well, tell me about it. You know, what's going on?" "Well, I had this contract with this person, and that closed down. I had this contract with this person. They decided to do it themselves. I had this contract with this person. Somebody stole it out from underneath me. Then my truck broke down. Then all my equipment broke down. I mean, I tell you what, you know, God supernaturally led me to this business, and I don't know what's going on." And I stopped for a second, and God spoke to me and said, "Ask him, when was the last time he heard my voice?" And so I said, "Well, you know, brother, when was the last time you heard the voice of God?" And he stops for a second, and this glazed look came over his face. And he just went into pause, and I could tell that he was rewinding, you know, almost like the VHS tapes where you hit the rewind button, you sit there for a long time, and you listen, ring, you know. He's just sitting there on pause, and I'm like, just waiting, you know? And it was almost awkward for a second there. And finally, all of a sudden, he snapped to and he said, oh my goodness. I said, what is it? He said, well, God told me that I'm supposed to go out and help the Coachella church. I said, really? Have you done that? And he stopped for another second. I'm going, not this again. And he broke out of it real quick, though. He said, no, I haven't. I haven't done what God told me to do. I said, go back and do it and watch. God's going to open up doors. So he left my office, calls me 1 week later, says, Pastor Dan, guess what? We made the decision not only to help out, but we're going to move out to the Coachella Valley. I already have a job that already pays more than my self-employed business paid. I'm already skilled at it, and they're wanting to put me in a management position. I just have to get trained. I already have a place to stay that's bigger than my current place, nicer than my current place, for less money than my current place. I said, ooh, brother, hallelujah. Man, we just had a Holy Ghost moment right there on the phone. And he's been doing great ever since, him and his wife. And man, they've given testimony at Shift and encouraged the young adults to do what God has called them to do. But listen, when you and I fear the word of the Lord so much so that we are quick to listen and do his commandments and not let doubt and fear and unbelief and all that other stuff lead us, we will be led by the Spirit of God into the blessings of God. God wants to bless you. God wants to prosper your life. God wants to make sure that you have everything that you need for your life. God doesn't want you groping about in the darkness. Why? Because he is the God of light. And he has provided you his word. He has provided you his Spirit. You can make a decision. You can make a choice based on the word of the Lord and not based on your own thoughts or calculations and not based on what other people want you to do or the society wants you to do or the social systems want you to do or the devil wants you to do. But you can go with what God has for you. And you can do it. You can make it. You can make the hard decisions. And you can come out on the other side. Yeah, it's going to be tough. Yeah, it's going to be hard. Yeah, you're going to have to do things you don't like to do. But who cares? Because God has called you to do it. And you be led by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God. Did you guys get something out of the Word of the Lord tonight? Amen.